Okay, so we're reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 29, text 9. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Akshane. You have it written down or no? Nope. Okay. Just have to memorize this as I recite it. Okay. Nasake. Asyam. Iti pancha pura kritaha dakshina dakshinaha karna utara achotaraha smritaha paschime iti adho dwaro Guram Shishnam Iho Chute. See, I guess I'll just read it a few times because you don't have it written down. So, Akshanina Sikeyasyam Iti Pancha Purakritaha Dakshina Dakshin Hakarna Uttarachotara Smitaha Paschime Uchato Adwaro gudam shishnam iho chute akshalina sike asyam iti pancha prakritaha dakshina dakshin ha karna utaracho taras mitaha paschame ityado swadwaro gudam shishnam iho chute akshalina sike asyam Iti pancha pura kritaha, dakshina dakshina karna, utara chutara smitaha, paschame ityado dwaro, gudam shishnam iho chute. Okay, now we'll do the word by word synonyms. Akshane, two eyes. Nasike, two nostrils. Asyam, the mouth. Iti, thus. Pancha, five. Puraha, on the front. Kritaha, made. Dakshina, southern gate. Dakshinaha, right. Karnaha, ear. Uttara, northern gate. Cha, also. Uttaraha, left ear. Smritaha, understood. Paschime, on the west. Iti, thus. Adaha, downward. Dwaro, two gates. Gudam, rectum. Shishnam, genital. Iha, here. Uchite, is said. So translation, two eyes, two nostrils, and a mouth. Altogether, five are situated in the front. The right ear is accepted as the southern gate, and the left ear is the northern gate. The two holes or gates situated in the west are known as the rectum and genital. So, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Of all sides, the eastern is considered most important, primarily because the sun rises from that direction. The gates on the eastern side, the eyes, nose, and mouth, are thus very important gates in the body. Very interesting. I'm just going to read the next text too, because they're both explanatory. So the next text is Kadyotar vir mukhi chatra netri katra nirmate rupam vibrajitam tabhyam vichaste chakshusheshvara. The two gates named Kadyuta and Avir Mukhi, which have been spoken of, are the two eyes side by side in one place. The town named Vibrajita should be understood as form. In this way, the two eyes are always engaged in seeing different kinds of forms. And Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport that the two eyes are attracted by brilliant things like light. Sometimes we find that little insects are attracted by the brightness of fire and thus enter into it. Similarly, the two eyes of the living entity are attracted by bright and beautiful forms. They are entangled in these forms exactly as the insect becomes attracted to fire. All right, so. Om Ganat, Timiranda Shah, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Chakshur, Un Militam, Yena Tasmai, Shigarve Namaha. So, one thing, it's very interesting here. The first verse, it describes that the apertures on the eastern side are very, very important. And also, we know that spiritual life in this world begins in the east. And the further west you get from India, guess what? Gets worse. So, you know, you have India, and then you go, of course, it's pretty bad in Afghanistan and Iraq right now. In the Middle East, and as far as getting more materialistic, and you know, Europe is pretty materialistic, and then you get to America, even more materialistic, and then part of America known as Hawaii, everyone's heard of Hawaii, that's even the most materialistic place in America. And of course, you go all around the world and you get back to India, but as far as going west, you get more materialistic. And it appears like that with the body too. The eastern part is much more important. Very important, as Srila Prabhupada said, very important gates. And then you get to the west, and that's another thing. So what that indicates is that there's a design in this world, because I'm going to use a fancy word. The microcosm and the macrocosm are very much similar. What do we mean? Micro means like what we see, like even tiny little things in the microbes, like in the little insignificant one-celled creatures, and then the macrocosm means something in the whole universe or even further than the universe. It reflects each other. I mean, for example, I'll give you one example, is that you take your spine. I think everybody here has a spine, right? I hope so. There's a saying in English, if someone is spineless, basically they have no personality. So everyone has a spine, and on the spine there's different things in the spinal column, and there's ratios between the different aspects of the spinal column. And if you examine the planets in the universe, then you're going to see the ratio between the planets in the solar system and other places actually have the same ratio. And if you examine music, anyone here know about music? Yeah, we have a musician there. There's certain ratios between the notes, as far as the, you know, cycles per second, where the gold hertz nowadays. And those ratios are the same as the ratios in the universe, and the same as the ratios in the spine. And even if you go into the little, tiny one-celled creatures, those are the same ratios. Pretty interesting, isn't it? So what that indicates that there's a designer, because and even there's different scientific constants. I'm not going to get into what I mean by that, but there are different constants of gravity and different things, that if those constants were any different, there wouldn't be an ability for the planets to be in existence. There wouldn't be existence of life on this earth or life anywhere else in the universe. As everybody knows, there's Sarvagataha, there's living entities everywhere. So the more you look at this universe and the ratios and things happening, the more you're convinced there's a designer. is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And so here we're reading about the senses, okay, which is quite interesting. So even if you go to the spiritual world and people have senses there, we're not Buddhists. What the Buddhists say is very similar to what we say, that the senses are places of misery. Everybody knows the Prasadam prayer? No, you don't. Probably everybody knows it in Bengali, but nobody knows it, the translation. You know, Sharira Vijaya Jatendriya Tehikala Jiva Fule Vishaya Sagare Dharmade Jivaiti Lobamaya Sudramati Tekei Jatakatina Samsare Krishna Boradoya Me Gribara Jiva Joy Srapasana Delavaya Sayam Ritapa Radhakrishna Gunagal Premadako Chaitanya Nitaitan. That's not the end of class, you know, that you, now it's time to take prasadam. But the reason I'm reciting that is, oh Lord, you know, basically the translation is, this body is a place of ignorance, and the senses are networks of paths leading to death. Wow, that's scary, isn't it? That's why the senses are being described here. I mean, look, these are paths leading to death. The tongue, the belly, the genitals, the eyes, the ears, I mean, they're all leading us. What do we mean to repeated birth and death in this mature world? Because they're engaging us in the objects of the senses, and the objects of the senses are influenced by the modes of nature. So, you know, we hear some horrible music or we see some thing we think is attractive. So they're just leading us astray. Of course, at the same time, the senses can save us if we engage them in Krishna's service. Savai Mana Krishna Padar, beginning with the mind. Savai Mana Krishna Padar Vindyo, as it's described. One engages the mind in Krishna's service by engaging all the senses in Krishna's service. You know, like you use your feet to go to the temple, your nose to smell the flowers offered to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your tongue to describe the glories of the Lord, your eyes to see the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in this way, you can overcome the attraction to the sense objects within this world. So the very same thing that is the cause of your entanglement can be the cause of your liberation. So anyway, getting back to Buddhism, the Buddhists have it half right. They say the senses are networks of paths leading to death. In other words, if you go through their four noble truths, material world is suffering, especially when it's winter here. Prabhupada also said if there's any nice place in the material world, it's Hawaii. And also Fiji. We were talking to one devotee about Fiji yesterday, but anyway, because the weather is always perfect. So anyway, so this material world is a place of suffering. And the Buddhists say that too, and we agree 100%. And the second, what they call the noble truth, noble truths, is that the suffering is caused by attachment and the engagement of the senses and the sense objects. So what is that attachment? Of course, we have an understanding of the attachment as the I and mine. There's a fancy word in Sanskrit for this. It's called abhiman. Anyone's heard of that word before? Abhiman basically means the conception of yourself. Like, what do you conceive of yourself? And it's interesting that in the Mahabharata, you have this personality called Abhimanyu. You've heard of him before? Because he represents Arjuna's, this is a little esoteric, so bear with me. He represents Arjuna's conception of anger with the Kurus. So that's why he's actually the greatest hero, other than Krishna, of course, the greatest hero in the Mahabharata war. When you hear the Mahabharata, that he was able to single-handedly fight with all the Maharathas in the Kuru army. And they had to gang up on him unfairly to kill him. So that's Abhimanyu. And he's one of the, perhaps the greatest hero. And of course the dynasty from the Pandavas continued because of Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu was married to Uttara, and then Parikshit came. Jenamajaya came after that, so you have this whole interesting dynasty. But the word abhiman means like conception, a conception of the self. or one's conception. This was interesting. And also, in Krishna's pastimes, you have Radharani's so-called husband with the same name, right? Abhimanyu. And so, why is he called Abhimanyu? Because, well, I'm going to get really esoteric now. See if you can understand this one. So, because in the spiritual world, Radharani doesn't have a manifestation of a husband. But she has the conception that she has a husband to help with the Radha and Krishna, you know, Parikya Ras. Parikya means the relationship between Radha and Krishna that's unmarried, you know, like what we would call in this material world illicit. So she has this conception. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this, how the devotees in the spiritual world, they're not experiencing the different ages of Krishna, like babyhood, you know, Komara and Yovanam. And, you know, Krishna's always like a fresh youth in the spiritual world. But Mother Yashoda, she always has this abhiman, this conception of herself that she had given birth to Krishna. Even though in the spiritual world, she doesn't give birth to Krishna. In the material world, you have Yashoda Mayi giving birth to Krishna. That's also a surprise to you. Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur talks about that. And it was actually an expansion of Krishna, Vasudev Krishna, that was given birth to by Devaki. So anyway, to try to follow my train of thought. I'm getting a little esoteric here. So what happens is in the spiritual world, they have all the residents have this abhiman, this conception. There's a reason I'm talking about this, because I'm going to talk about how it applies to us in a few minutes. In the spiritual world, they have an abhimana or conception, even though the things don't necessarily externally manifest in the spiritual world. And then in the material world, those things actually manifest, the abhimans manifest. And so therefore, Radharani's conception of having a husband manifests as abhimanyu. I think I explained it. Yeah, I think everyone understands. If I didn't, just raise your hand if you need me to go back and explain it. So, all right, so abhiman. So why am I talking about abhiman or conception? Because the reason that we are suffering in the material world is not because we have senses or we have a material body. The reason is because of our abhiman. And what is our abhiman? Our conception of ourselves as the enjoyer, proprietor, as Krishna says in the Gita, Ishwaroham Ahambogi Siddoham Balavan Sukhi. In other words, we're a bunch of demons. You know, so a demon doesn't necessarily mean someone you've seen in the movies like Dracula or Godzilla or, you know, some of the modern movies. If you watch the superheroes, you know, they always have a demon who attacks them. Mr. Spider, not Spider-Man, he's not a demon. Anyway, so I'm not so expert with those things. So, but a demon means someone who thinks, Ishwaroham, I am the controller. Instead of Krishna, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Krishna is the cause of all causes. He's the supreme controller. So we're thinking, I'm the controller. I'm controller of my life. I'm the master of my destiny. I want to manipulate everybody. I mean, we all have different ways of controlling. Some of us control through money. Some of us control through threats. Some of us control through tears. You know, the ladies sometimes use their tears, boo-hoo, to control. But we all try to control this material nature some way or other. You know, I control with my computer. You know, it's interesting. Like, just a little bit of self-criticism. We get it so much into technology because it actually helps us have the conception, the abhiman, that we're controlling. Like what I've done with many devotees who work with me, I put a little app on their phone so I can tell wherever they are at any time. You know, we had one of my disciples recently went to Barbados on vacation. So I called him on the phone. He said, "How do you find out my phone number?" I said, "Because I'm in control." Because I stuck an app on your phone you can't get rid of, and it sends me a message wherever you are in the world what your phone number is. So we all try to control in different ways, you know, psychological manipulation, Ishwaroham. And then the other abhiman we have is hum bogey. I'm the bogey. Like Prabhupada said, you can be a bogey, a rogi, or a yogi. You have a choice. He said, anyway, Prabhupada said, so it was very funny. Prabhupada said, if one passes stool once a day, he's a yogi. If someone does twice a day, he's a bogey. That means he's eating too much. And three times a day, he's rogi, or sick. So bogey means someone who's an enjoyer. And of course, Krishna is a bogey. Krishna in the Gita also says he's a bogey. Does anyone know that verse where he says he's a bogey? No, that's a demon. That's a demon's. That's the verse I was just quoting. That's a that, Prabhupada, Krishna says that's the demon's Gayatri mantra. Ishwaroham aham bogi siddham balavan sukhi. That's it. No, Krishna says bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvalokamaheshram suridam sarvabhutaram 529. Asuranam Sarvabhutanam Gatwa Mam Shantim Richati. He says, Bokhtaram, I am the bogi, basically. I'm the enjoyer. One who understands that Krishna is the enjoyer. He's of all sacrifices, and he's the Lord of all the worlds. He's the friend of all of us. And then one can be peaceful. But we're thinking we're the bogi. In different ways, we're enjoyed. I mean, it's not the only one enjoys by eating. It's by seeing different things. By thinking you're in control, the subtle enjoyment, you know, profit, adoration, distinction, all these different bogey stuff. I'm a great preacher. I'm so wonderful. So this is boga. Ishwaroham, hum bogey, siddham, and I'm powerful. I have mystic powers or whatever. Balavan means strong. I'm very strong. You know, look at this body. I'm strong. I exercise every day. Just like there was one person who would always brag he was strong. He was so strong, he was able to swim across the English Channel when he was 95 years old and pull a boat behind him. Pretty good. And, you know, anyone's tried to go across the English Channel, it's not an easy thing to swim. It's very cold and things like that. So, and then eventually he caught a disease and he got killed. He died from just a flu. You know, he's so strong he could swim across the English Channel. And then he died. And anyway, there was a boxer from the 1960s. He used to go around telling everybody, "I am the greatest. I am the greatest." And now he just has Alzheimer's disease and can't even think for himself. So, Balavan, and then Suki, I'm happy. You know, so this is actually the conception of the demoniac concept. This is our Abhiman. And, you know, I and mine, so much is mine today, so much more will be mine tomorrow. He is my enemy, I've defeated him. I'm the center of the universe. I mean, this is the problem. This is the problem. So what we're pointing out is what's called Sambandha Gyan. Here's the problem. And then there's Abhideya Gyan, what to do about the problem. You know, practical solution. One has to cultivate, the Buddhists, of course, say that one has to cultivate the idea that everything is nothing. That's pretty hard. You know, or the Zen Buddhists would talk about meditate on the sound of one hand clapping. And somehow or other. Of course, if you start to meditate on these things, you become so confused that probably you don't experience too much misery because you go crazy. So, and then they have to give you some psychological medicine just to keep you calm, you know. So, So anyway, so the Buddhists, there are four noble truths, material world suffering, it's an attachment is suffering, give up the attachment, then you get rid of the suffering, and of course they say the way to give up the attachment is the Eightfold Path, right living, all that other stuff. But they can't give up the attachment, because we understand to give up attachment, it's not natural, we have to be attached. The condition of the soul is always attached to something. The soul is always a servant. This is a constitution. You can't give up your constitution. It's part of the essence of the soul. Always attached to something, always serving something, either oneself or the material energy or your dog. Prabhupada would comment on that, how people would go walk their dog and just wait until the dog passes stool. Can you imagine, you see that in India, like even now when I was in Chaupati, there's these rich Indian people, they're walking their dogs now. And they even have dog shows. who is the prettiest dog? when I was young, if you said that a girl looked like a dog, it was an insult. But nowadays, the dogs have beauty shows. So anyway, getting back to the whole point is that the way is higher taste or higher enjoyment. As Krishna says in the Gita, raso vajram raso prasapanam jishtani vartate. So that means changing the abhiman. That's why I started talking about the concept of abhiman. Instead of thinking these senses belong to me, then our abhiman, or self-conception, is the jivera svarupohe nitya Krishna das, that I am a servant of Krishna, and nirmana moha jita sangha dosha, that nothing really belongs to me. All this is borrowed. This body, I'm borrowing the material elements from Krishna. So when you borrow something, you take care of it better, and you use it for the purpose of the person who owns it. Unless you're a thief. Someone goes to a fancy restaurant and there's the people who park the cars and if you have a fancy car, the person will take your car out for a ride. The reason, and one way they prevent that right now is in the newer cars, they have two sets of keys. One set is called a valet set. It only works to drive the car to the parking lot, and they can't open up anything else in the car because people will try to misuse. Well, they have these parkers, they try to misuse the car, especially if you have a Mercedes or a Maserati. You've heard of Maserati before? Lamborghini, all these fancy cars. So the same way, Krishna's given us this body, and then unfortunately he's given us the keys to the body, and we're misusing, we're taking it for a ride in the wrong place because of the abhiman. So basically it just means changing the abhiman. I am a servant of Krishna. That's it. This body belongs to Krishna. The senses, what's being described here, all belong to Krishna, meant to be used in his service. And as you progress in devotional service, your abhiman becomes further refined. How has it become refined? That you begin to understand what your spiritual identity is in the spiritual world. This is your eternal abhiman, not your temporary abhiman. You begin to understand, hey, maybe I'm a coward boy or a gopi or a blade of grass or something like that in the spiritual world. So basically what we're working on right now, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, is cleansing our hearts so we can perceive our real abhiman. That's actually the process of devotional service. And then all this stuff, the suffering of the material world or the senses and everything like that, it just doesn't bother you anymore. And you begin to kevalananda kanda bhaja bhaja vai chaitanya nitya. You begin to just enjoy all the time Krishna consciousness simply by changing your self-conception, the abhiman. So anyway, so that's all I wanted to say now. So any questions or comments? Yeah. The consciousness is great. You're the one who creates your abhiman, your false abhiman. Yeah. It's like, Abhimana means conception of the self, either false ego or real ego.
Okay, it's just perception.
Yeah, sometimes Abhimana is defined as a false ego, but that's, it doesn't really mean false ego, it means your conception of the self. So our Abhimana is the false ego right now, yes. But that's really not giving us happiness. I and mine. The two divisions of false ego are I and mine. Me, and something belongs to me. Whew. All right. It's an interesting discussion. So any other questions or comments? How to get rid of the false ego? Just go to the Himalayas. Why do we have to go to the Himalayas? We just sit here in the temple room. It's cold enough. Right? This reminds me that when I first came, I was mentioning the devotees, when I first came to Slovenia, we didn't have such good administration in the temple. There was only one devotee in the temple here. It was actually Domina. And, actually, Kavi Karnapur was there too. And there wasn't enough money to pay for the heating. All they could do was buy one little gas bottle, and that lasted for 3 hours. And so we spent, this is the first time I came here, I think it was, I don't remember what year, 98 or 97 or something like that. And it was cold, because there was no heat at all. I mean, now, once in a while, the heat goes on. And I think I even had to give a Kavi Karnapur some money to buy a gas bottle so I wouldn't freeze to death. So this reminds me of the good old days. So, any questions, other questions or comments about Abhimana? It's a very important understanding. What is your self, another word is self-image. What is your self-image? How do you picture yourself? And of course, right now we have this upadhi, which constitutes our part of the Abhimana. Upadhi means designations. Like, I am male or female, or I am Slovenian, or this country, or I'm intelligent, or I'm a PhD. So these are all upadhis like that. Sarvapadhi vinir muktam. Another expression, tatpat prena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam. Isn't it? Bhakti ruchyate. That's the same thing. Sarvapadhi vinir muktam. One must get rid of the false abhiman. Tatpurudena nirmalam. One has become free of these impurities by understanding Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. My senses are meant to be used in the service of the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. And that's the other Abhiman. So you find this conception of Abhiman expressed in different ways throughout the Vaishnava literatures. But this is basically it. We have to change our self-identification. That's it. That's Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. And then we achieve perfection. But it can't be done by a mental adjustment. We have to cleanse the heart. It's not that I'm going to just think, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant of Krishna. Okay, no. But you have to do it. Like Prabhupada also said, action and knowledge gives you realization. So if you don't act on it, you can sit all day long in bed and think of yourself as a servant of Krishna, but you're not going to realize a damn thing until you act on it. Like if someone says, I'm not the body, that doesn't help you realize you're not the body. You have to act like you're not the body with faith. Yeah. Of course, I could say, I'm not experiencing cold. I'm not experiencing, it doesn't work. I wish it was so easy. whatever I say, It's like that. It's like that false propaganda the non-devotees have, like the secret, I'm envisioning this, it's going to be. It doesn't work like that. I wish it could work. So, any other questions or comments or arguments or problems? Yes.
Yes, about this Abhimanyu, our real Abhimanyu.
Yeah.
Slowly one realizes his real identity.
Yes.
But how does that manifest? Because, for example, there is this story about Ramachandra. He met some wise men and they felt immediately that they were attracted to him. And then, for example, he told them that this is not the real way.
Oh, you're talking about the sages in the Dandakaranya forest. They wanted to have a conjugal relationship with, not on the physical platform, with Lord Ramchandra, and he said, you know, you have to appear as the gopis in Vrindavan. Yeah. So, what's wrong with that?
No, my question is, so is this just something
to
just feel and
roll
it?
No, just feel. Oh, my God. Yeah, I mean, just yesterday, you know, we were walking in the park, and I just saw some people sledding, and I felt like I should go sledding, too. And I asked the devotees, do we have any sleds at the temple? And I would have gone, anyway, if you had sleds, but anyway. So, no, it's not something you just feel and you go with it, because we do have these tendencies that are problematic. We make mistakes, you know, we have a tendency to be illusion and imperfect senses, and we have a tendency to cheat others. So usually what we feel is a problem. So therefore we have to utilize intelligence. But really, in the immature stage, we can't distinguish between, it's harder to distinguish between the intelligence and the mind. So therefore we require the association of advanced pure devotees. So, and, you know, after understanding your servant of Krishna and trying to understand the higher aspects of your abhiman, your self-conception that you're trying to achieve, you require to be in the association with advanced devotees who you can bounce the ideas off of. You know, I feel that I'm a cow in Vrindavan. And the guru will say, yes, you're a cow, and here's your service. You should moo. So say after me, moo. So they're... That's done when one reaches, has to be done in the association of advanced pure devotees. And these things are revealed, but we can't just go with whatever pops into our little brains. Because we'll be in trouble if we just go like that. We'll be sahajas or even worse, you know. So many things come into our brains. So many impulses come in. Like I mentioned, you know, myself wanting to go sledding down the hill. It's not so bad. We used to do that at the GBC meetings. When we were young, we used to have these GBC meetings in a place called New Jersey, which is northern United States. And during the break, we'd all go down sledding. Myself and the other sannyasis would sled down the hills. Why not? I mean, there's no problem with it. It's not mine. We got some team building. So... Anyway, it's not that we're going to take a trip to some mountain in Slovenia to go skiing this winter. There can be a little bit of recreation. It's not going to hurt anybody. So we need association of advanced devotees. And particularly we should advanced devotees in Prabhupada's line, not that we look for someone outside of ISKCON. I mean, there are advanced devotees in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. And we stick with Prabhupada's line. But I haven't seen too many devotees ready to realize their spiritual identity. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, if you go and live in Radha Kund, then Radha Kund will become Naraka Kund for you. So I've actually recently prohibited, you know, anybody who is working with me or under me or whatever from living at Radha Kund. Because I've seen... Anyway, recently one of my godbrothers had trouble, as you all know. And because We're not ready. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, if we live in Braj, we can live in Vrindavan or Govardhan and keep Radha Kund on our head. So we have to maintain an attitude of caution. Vandan Muyasavana Anamate means caution. When we go to these holy places, not think that we're more advanced than we actually are. There's another word in Sanskrit called adhikar, which means you have a right. So you may not have the right to understand these things right now. Just like in the Jiva Dharma, you have devotees approaching the advanced devotees and say, you know, they ask them, what is my adhikar right now? Do I have a right to Vaidhi Bhakti, Raghunuga Bhakti, what is my right? And generally the guru will say, you have a right to Vaidhi Bhakti right now. And even if one is on a higher level, they will act as a strict Vaidhi Bhakti practitioner to set a good example for others. So, any other questions or comments or arguments? Yes.
This conception is like it's very important during the chanting. So my question is like, because of our condition, we have that during the chanting, we have more focus on our false selves than rather, like you said, we have to have a conception of being a servant.
Yeah.
So, will this like offensive chanting increase our false conception, or will it
Well, there's weeds, you know. You can actually cultivate the weeds by the process of hearing and chanting. So, like Lord Chaitanya said that he was a gardener, that you have to really be able to identify what is the false conception. I mean, even the conception that I can chant nicely with my own strength, you know, I'm going to control my mind and do all these things. Of course, we try to control our minds, but we really have to understand that we're dependent on Krishna. Just Krishna says in the Gita, for every endeavor and the result, just depend upon me and work always under my protection. So even if you're chanting, saying, oh, I'm going to chant this round, I'm going to chant purely by my strength. That's false ego right there. Because you can't do it by your strength. You can't control your mind by your strength. Chanchala imana Krishna. Pramati balavadrunam tajaham nikraham manye. Vayor iva shudushkaram. So you have to really understand that you're tiny. Your jiva soul is actually very, very small, Anu. And Krishna's big, and we're dependent on Krishna. So right now our relationship with Krishna is more that Krishna's like our father, you know, and we're like Krishna's children. Yeah, and of course this is the Western conception of God, God the Father, right? So he's taking care of us. So when one advances more, I mean, one becomes a resident of Vrindavan, one is thinking Krishna's dependent on me. Like Mother Yashoda is thinking like that. But that's really not for us right now. Krishna needs me. I mean, without me, how would this movement go on? That's a really bad Abhimata. So in other words, even while we're chanting or doing service, we can have this false conception. And so we have to work on the conception of the self. Who am I? What is my real identity? I'm just a servant. I'm not a sannyasi. I'm not a guru. I'm not a GBC. I mean, these things are all upadis. I'm a Gopi Bharata Padakamala Dasa Dasa Anudasa Dasa Dasa Anudasa. Does that make sense? Yeah, Dharma.
I have a question about false ego. Can you also false ego or part of false ego also used in Krishna service? The service of Krishna?
Yeah, we could show everybody what a big false ego is.
We use body and mind and intelligence. In other words, false ego is the most subtle element. You know that false ego is a connected condition with this body.
Yeah.
It's cold now, and now I can say, okay, I'm not this body, I'm a spirit soul.
Yeah.
False ego is it's cold, it's disturbing
me. Yeah, we have to be aware. I mean, even at the real ego, you have to be aware that the body belongs to Krishna.
Yes, my question is,
Can the false ego be used in Krishna's?
False ego only
misconception about. I don't think you could use the false ego in Krishna's service unless you want to demonstrate how your false ego is getting you in trouble. I mean, I guess that's one way. I mean, if I speak about how my false ego gets me in trouble, I use it with the mobile phones and everything like that. I guess I'm using that in Krishna's service. I'm dovetailing my false ego. But as far as the body, one takes care of the body better if one understands it belongs to Krishna. I mean, if you understand you're borrowing something, if you're really an honest person, you'll take care of it better than if it belonged to you. And obviously we understand we need the body to function properly in Krishna consciousness. It's not that if I was on the spiritual platform, I could just walk around in my gumshoe all day long. in the cold, I mean, that would be. Because I wouldn't be able to serve Krishna. I'd start shivering, the brain wouldn't work properly, I'd probably get some sort of pneumonia. And it belongs to Krishna. Like Prabhupada was driving, was in a car one time, and the devotee hadn't cleaned the car properly. He'd probably wiped his hand on the dashboard, and he said, "Who do you think this car belongs to?" So if Prabhupada wanted us to take care of the car, certainly we'd want to take care of this vehicle that we're walking around with. So, but as far as using the false ego in Krishna's service, I have to think very carefully about how to engage my false ego in Krishna's service. I mean, obviously Krishna tricks us. Yeah, that's called Agyata Sukriti, yeah. And then our false ego can be used in Krishna's service. You know, here's something nice to eat. Oh, I want to enjoy the food. Oh, it's prasadam, great. I guess there's a way to do it. So, we're almost 15 minutes overdue. And then we get in trouble from the temple president. We get chastised if we go too long. So, any quick questions? Because we have the Sunday program today. Sunday program in the evening. So, I was thinking of speaking at the Sunday program about an interesting concept that Bhaktivinoda Thakur presents in his books is called the Dashamula, which means the 10 principles, the root principles of Krishna consciousness. And then, anyway, it's an interesting discussion. At least, you know, at least I enjoy philosophy. My false ego enjoys philosophy. So, I think we should end. All glories to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.